another way of dealing with this, rather than litigation, legal fees? Is there a way that one could actually sit around the table and talk? I just noticed there's such a trend, even with other, you know, with doctors and patients, that South Africa is becoming more litigious. Previously, it used to be the United States, and now I hear of doctors who are saying they're having to take out so much insurance just in case. Anyway, that's irrelevant to you, but I'm just wondering, is litigation the only way to go when it is so costly and it extends over such a long period of time? I think you mentioned 6 years. You know, so in a sense, you've almost forgotten what you're arguing about. But, you know, if one sits around a table and tries to deal with the issue right at the time, is that just pie in the sky? Am I being idealistic?
Thank you, my home guest. I think people from Eastern Cape think the same. Because before you came to this community, this is what has always been worrying me. Why is so much legal cost? Is there another? I know there are regulators. So people will always try to fight back when you try and put them correctly. So part of their work is to prepare themselves that they go to court. But is there, in fact, the question that I've been asking, is there no way that we can make the industry, the medical aid industry, understand that they're there for the members, not to do all these other things that they are doing, which make them to go to be taken to court. Make them understand without going to court. In fact, I always believe that when I go to court, it's already a divorce. There's no way that we can I can look after my wife after we go to the legal people, even before the divorce. The time we involve legal people, there's no relationship between myself and my wife. It's finished. We could have done it long before the legal people. So that's what I've been asking them. But it seems as if there are certain things that they were trying to do when I asked them last year about this legal fees, knowing in any case that it is going to happen. It's not their choice because they get taken to court. But at the same time, if they could make them understand, they could have some relationship in discussing these things without going to court and make them understand that, look, you're not looking after your members well. So please do it better than the way that you're doing. And you'll still get your money even if you do it the right way. But I don't know, I'm just mentioning something that has always been haunting me. Members,
thank you, Chairperson. I don't have much question to say. I have one. Given the small subcomplement of the unity and the large number of the cases of deal with, what has the CMS done to address staff turnover of requirement? And then the other one is, why only 45 skin marketing material review? Why not all skin marketing material? Thank you.
Is the monitoring. How often do you go to, let's say, medical aid scheme offices just to take out a file and check the pricing? Because to me, that's part of you, if I understand you here, that you can come to a permit and say, okay, let's just for check. And you just pick up a file and you check the pricing so that you should be able to check whether the pricing is in line with your understanding. Because I'm asking these questions also in relation to my experience that a lot of hospitals, private hospitals, take advantage of us. However, immediately you go to that hospital, you are being admitted. Coming to that hospital, you will be admitted in an ICU. So, according to me, ICU and ordinary wards, the prices are not the same. Now, how do you determine, how do you detect those malpractices of private hospitals vis-a-vis our medical aid? Should we come and complain to you, or do you know about it, and if you know, what do you do about it? Lastly, it's what my colleague said, who memorized it, about really do we have to write and complain, and where do we address this as the public? Because really, I think every person who has gone through a private hospital has got a complaint one way or the other. The only thing is just that you say, I'm out of this hospital alive. But otherwise, there are billions and billions of complaints around our medical aid and private hospitals, private doctors. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to go further because I'm going to personalize it too much.
And the other one is to personalize it at this level. But I think it's a very difficult problem. So sometimes when we make laws, we don't look into the future and prepare ourselves to change things as we go along and look at the shortfalls and the mistakes that we've done. And you know, we made this law, we enacted, they were enacted and they became a structure. But I think we forgot about the biggest spender of the medical aid, which is the hospital. But fortunately, we called them here one day, and we asked them if they are prepared to be regulated. And they said they were prepared to be regulated. But the question was, how do we regulate them? Because by the look of things, they're doing their own way. I remember there's always been this complaint that you can't... You can't say medicine is colliding when you talk about prices. But for the big three hospitals to sit down and say, this is what we're going to do, I'm not sure whether it's the right way to do things. But it's something that probably you could advise us as to how to go on. But I think the problem here that is coming now is that the private hospitals are the ones who take a picture, which is confirmed by what you have shown us on your research. That the private hospitals, and one wonders whether are they within your ambit, or are they outside your ambit, or indirectly you can influence. But it definitely shows that most of the money goes there. Whether it's rightfully they are doing it the right way or it's not the right way, we don't know. Okay, Honourable Copan, I think you're the last one.
My question is regarding the staff turnover. Apparently, according to the report, it just says that the council has lost the key personnel over the past 5 years. And that has caused some sort of a destabilization within the organization itself. And it makes it also difficult to recruit more skilled skills. And I understand that the KPMG was appointed. The aim was really to help you to review your organizational design. On the 25th of August, they're supposed to have approved that proposal from the KPMG. Is it already being approved, or what is it?
tensions. and we simply cannot allow that to happen. Chair, the registrar will speak a little bit to the issue of staff turnover. In relation to the relationship between ourselves, medical schemes, doctors, specialists, hospitals, what we must understand is that we have a somewhat fragmented regulatory framework. Our mandate is really to look after the medical schemes and how they conduct themselves in relation to the beneficiaries. Whether they stick the rules of the medical schemes, whether they comply with the regulations and the act, etc. Unfortunately, there are limitations to what that goes to, so there's lots of things that fall outside our mandate. We do not have any regulatory oversight over private hospitals. We do not have any regulatory oversight over health professionals. The Health Professions Council deal with health professionals. So the question of somebody who having to demand, having to pay 3,000 rand or 3,500 rand up front, has got nothing to do with the relationship with the medical scheme, but with the professional conduct of that medical practitioner. And whether or not he's justified to charge 3,500 first of all for the consultation and therefore and also to demand in cash up front. Unfortunately, when you're sick and you're busy having a heart failure, you don't have opportunity to negotiate. You have to just take out the money and pay. But that's a matter that's dealt with by the Health Professions Council. Similarly, the Health Act only deals with setting standards, minimum standards, which private hospitals have to comply with. It doesn't deal with anything else in relation to how the hospitals have to behave and operate on a day-to-day basis. And what we're really lacking here is an integrated regulatory framework. So we don't have parts of it that's regulated by the council, parts of it that's regulated by the Health Professions Council, parts of it that's unregulated. And that's really what the ministry must apply their minds to in terms of developing an integrated regulatory framework to deal with the entire profession. I think they've effectively dealt with the medicines issue and through the single price regulatory framework, but certainly the two areas of what I would call uncontrolled increases in costs, which is the specialists and the cost of the hospital and the facilities themselves, remain unregulated. And so in order to complete the puzzle, you need to have, I don't know whether you could call it a medical omelet or whatever the case might be, to just capture all of this, etc. Because right now, the only recourse that the main industry would have against private hospitals, for example, is to go to the Consumer Complaints Commission to lodge a complaint with regards to the behavior of people at the private hospital. Thanks.
Chairperson of the Finance Committee with that input. I just want to add that in summary, when it comes to the legal costs, what we're dealing with in courts is exceptional case. A lot of work has already been done at adjudication level, as the chairperson has mentioned. The other aspect which is important for the committee members to note is that the more we succeed in prospective regulation, that means preventing the cases before they actually get into court. If we succeed in that, less of the need to go to court is likely to take place. And we haven't really reached that stage at this point in time. We're working very hard to prevent matters getting into court by this prospective regulation that we will be referring to, as opposed to the retrospective where we're trying to mop up the mess that we have occurred. On the alternative dispute resolution, as it has been mentioned, a task team has already been formed within the council, a council member with an experience in alternative dispute resolution is part of that, together with members, some members in the management, to develop a framework for the alternative ADR, it's called. So that we should have it in place, because at least we have got a structure that should deal with that. I just wanted to touch on the staff turnover question that has been asked. Yes, it is true that we as the Council for Medical Schemes are losing a number of people who are skilled because over a period of time, the staff members we recruit the best and want to retain the best. That's our strategy. When we lose these people, we obviously suffer all the time in the categories that I have mentioned, and therefore we have to be competitive, and we hope that we will be able to stem this turnover in those specific areas that I have mentioned, Chairperson. The scheme marketing material, we have mentioned earlier on in our presentation that marketing material that the schemes are using, the schemes have got specialized structures in the form of marketing companies. All majority of schemes, not just the big ones, have marketing companies that they have registered as separate companies that market their material, and that is very costly. What we have picked up is that two things. One is that if one or two schemes have marketing company and the other schemes are not having some, or they're not allowed to do so, that is unfairness in the way that the schemes should have. So there should be, these opportunities must be available to all schemes at the same time. That is one way of looking at it. The other way that we're looking at it is, in fact, none of the schemes should have these marketing companies as separate companies. Instead, they must belong to the fund, medical scheme fund itself, where it is the fund, all the proceeds from such marketing go to the fund to the benefit of the members, so the ordinary members can then benefit. But again, if you look at it, Chairperson, in all your respect, then it becomes a business enterprise now that we're asking the schemes to be involved in. The question would then be, should they be in that space? Should they not be in the space of providing medical cover when the need arises from the member? And if they do, if we say no, where are they going to get money, a lot of money, to cover the increasing burden of disease and the whole host of things that are related to a medical scheme? We had, for instance, on the cancer matter, it's a very expensive intervention, medical intervention that is needed. If any condition costs $700,000 a year to do so, the scheme must be able to take that blow, and it must have enough money, it must be allowed to generate money to do so. That's an area that we have to carefully consider. So we're mitigating in our meager resources by having marketing material analysts, we have mentioned in the position that we have created to look and assist us as a council for medical schemes to analyze marketing material, whether it is the right material, is it somehow perverse incentive, is it good for the members of the scheme, and so on. So we'll continue to do that. We'd like to have more. We'd like to have more people with skills within the council for medical schemes. Remember, the council for medical schemes is less than 100 staff members altogether. The biggest medical scheme in the country that we regulate would have thousands of employees. So we are against, if you want to look at it that way, we are up against industry that is well-resourced. The smallest of the schemes, or rather one of the smallest of the schemes, would be worth R1 billion worth of resources, financial resources. Our budget is in the region of 100 million per annum. So our budget is 100 million per annum. We are regulating an industry where a smallest scheme is R1 billion. So the biggest scheme would probably be about 12, 13 billion rand altogether. So you can see where we come from. And we are not allowed to increase our levies to the level and extent that we would like to, so that we can have the same financial muscle as she was. If we do so, we increase the levy, and members might complain, and the schemes might complain. And what is this levy in reality? This levy increase is 24 rand, we mentioned it in here, 24 rand per member per year. That we're asking year on year. And people and treasury will complain when we're asking for an increase of contribution of 24 rand per member per year. Please keep this in mind when we're asking for our budget to be increased. It's critical given the industry that we are dealing with. Chairperson of Finances has mentioned the money that we're having as a Council for Medical Schemes. I just want to add that we do the questionnaire rules with regards to monitoring and inspections. We do, and it is in terms of the Act, and it is Section 43 of the Act where we can do an inspection of any scheme at any one time, given what that provision in the number of schemes. They have got a program of all the schemes that they must visit in each year. Knock at the door, come in, tell us that the Council of the Council for Medical Schemes, that you are coming from the Compliance and Investigation Unit to come in and inspect and investigate your affairs. Basically, that's what the letter says. They've done that, cycle, they've done that round. Now, they're going to continue with it on an ongoing basis because I've made it part of the KPAs of that specific unit to do and report back to the office what they have done, what they have found out, and then they tell us that we want to know what is your marketing material like, what is your legal fees, what is your PE status, what is your, that's what we're going to be doing so that we can show that their providers and their governance structure, their board of trustees, how often do they hold elections, and how often that means the annual general AGMs and the rest of that. So we are doing the inspections and monitoring checks on a regular basis, and by using the specific provisions in the Act for us to do so. Whilst I am on the private hospitals and this and the relationship between doctors and medical schemes, the private hospitals, there is no regulator for them. The point has been made. The question when it arose last time, we were left with a homework to advise on this. And our advice went, of course, within the limits of the Act and our money, that you need to regulate it because this is what we pick up from the private hospitals. We went further and gave an advice to the effects of the legal advice and legal firms that we use, advising us as the CMS on how to regulate an industry. We have, I think we should provide that chairperson and again and indicate to us whom we can take it up within the HPC. Such an advice. We'll be able to do so if it is to you chair or the researcher in the HPC, please indicate, and with a specific advice that comes for us itself, you must develop a legislative framework to regulate private hospitals, and along the following lines, here is a company or legal firm that has assisted us as SCMS, use it to develop a regulator framework for the private hospitals. That we can do. We have done so, we probably have not, we haven't received a response with regard to this, and I will communicate with your office, Chairperson, for you to do that. Because the more we have private hospitals not regulated the way they are, the more of the problems that we have. What we have done from our side in recent times is to engage these private hospitals that have indicated to the committee that they are prepared to be regulated to give us the information and data that talks to the increase in the private hospital costs. We're doing that. They were reluctant to do so initially because they didn't feel that they had to report to us because we don't regulate them, we don't have money over them. We've managed to work out within the office a strategy where we tell them that we will always report on an annual basis in our annual report information that we have about them because we get information from the schemes about them. So they cannot come and complain if we report what we observe about them. So they must interact with us, cooperate with us in the information and data that we need. That's what they are doing reluctantly, but they don't see any other way of doing so. And I think what will help us to make that happen properly is by the pressure that comes in on the legislative framework to regulate them going on at the same time. We really urge you to really look into this, Chairperson. You'll also be pleased to notice that the new registrar at the HPCSA, and as far as regulating the private providers, that new registrar has served her term and her innings in the Council of Medical Schemes because she served in the Council of Medical Schemes. So she's got a good understanding of how we work. All what we told you today, she will know because she was in our council. So maybe when you meet with the HPCSA, maybe remind her that the lessons that she has learned at the Council for Medical Schemes, now she must put them into use at HPCSA. I shouldn't be saying this yet, but I felt that I need to mention that. And she will therefore now not be a member of council at the CMS, precisely because she belongs and is a registrar and a CEO of the HPCSA. And but the lessons that have been learned by being associated with this institution are very, very much. future of the Council for Medical Schemes is not clear, was not clear at the time. Maybe the change and restructuring within the office must be in keeping with the developments of the implementation of the NHI. Remember, this was before Chairperson publication of the Green Paper, NHI Green Paper, and therefore that is now out of the way. We then have, and I do intend to go back and do this restructuring properly as it has been done. What the Council told me as a registrar was that I should as not structure it as it was intended and that I presented it to them, but I must do the reorganization and the changes in the organogram of the structure in a manner that will assist the office operate efficiently. I'm glad to say that I started doing that immediately. I was given that mandate. A lot of reorganization has taken place, not to the extent of the restructuring as it was proposed. That was a radical approach with the restructuring. But it was extraordinary measure. We need extraordinary methods to deal with extraordinary methods and situations. To give you an idea, for a situation where people reporting to the CEO were 12 or 13 of them. I don't know any other structure which has a situation where you've got so many people reporting to one person at that level, because it leaves one without enough time to do strategic thinking. That is going to be done. I've got time to deal with this, where senior management is serving 5-year terms, and during the time of the renewal of those terms, they would have to come in and fit into the new structure when it comes into operation after their 5-year terms. That's the structure, that's the thinking, that's how I intend to deal in with this. By that time, we would be having, hopefully, more clarity with regard to the NHI and its implementation and how the Council itself feels and serves and fits in with the NHI. I think I have answered number one question. Thank you.
I think if there's nothing that is eating, so we should probably call it a day. I don't see any hands. I think we're full. You want to say something, make up?
Thank you, Sham. I attempted to ask this question. According to under the program 4, it says that the council intends not to increase the number of employees, especially in the research and monitoring unit. For the 5 year period, and then you clearly say that as a need arises, you are going to employ specialized research professionals. The unit will engage with the external consultant to support the implementation of the key objectives. Now my question is, why should we use or resort to use the external consultant? Is it not against the government saying that they need to make sure that people are we need to increase the level of people who are fully employed in government?
Just quickly,
that's the last question.
Yeah, now, I think there's probably just a misunderstanding in the context, Chairperson, in which that is said. I do want to refer the Honourable Member to note 43 of the budget when it comes into dealing with the research and monitoring. Note number 40 would talk about a whole host of how the PDP programs talk to research and monitoring, but note 43 specifically in the budget in front of you talks to the research and monitoring that we have referred to. I just want to mention a chairperson that a number of divisions that are taking place in that unit, and the research and monitoring. It is an important unit that is highly technical in nature, and I'm currently dealing with leadership related matters in the unit, where from the technical point of view, they are doing pretty well at a technical level. It needs leadership. And I'm convinced, as I'm sitting here, that at the moment it is lacking, but there will be this that can be reported in the next annual financial year.
Thank you. Let's take that was the end of the question time. You know, Member, I think we're in a situation where the health costs are very much. And now people have seen business in it by saying that give us money, we'll make sure that you are sure to get the services that you need when you need them urgently. And enhance the medical aid. And now the medical aids are being regulated. And often they are in business, they want to make money. But when they get regulated, that creates a lot of problems for them because the vision probably might not be the same. So hence the legal costs that are coming. But I think we will be given an answer to that. But we are dealing with a very difficult situation. In fact, this is what you think about even with the universal coverage, whether the government would be able to look after the health costs, because health costs are very expensive. Now, obviously, it means that we still have private things that we have to do to pay, but it means the poor people are still going to suffer at the end because of the health costs that are very high. Your amendment that you talked about, Register, it's something that informally we discussed with the department, and they said they were going to look into those things, but we're happy that there's something that has started, and we're just going to try and see when it comes to us, we'll make sure that we move with it very fast so that it can end there. We really understand your problem about, you know, you get situations in the developing world where you get a soccerite who gets a big salary in the northwestern countries, and when he goes back home, he's got a bigger salary than the coach, so he doesn't listen to the coach because he's got a better salary getting from another country. So and he can't play for the for his country well because the coach is getting a lesser. I think this is the situation that we are in. We are regulating the big guns. Yes, we've got a mega budget, and hence you are talking about the levies. It's something that probably we need to look into. Not that we're going to make you bigger than the medical aid industry, but just to be able to be respected, to have some dignity. It's something that you need to remind us so that we look into that. But I don't think it's something that we can solve that very quickly, especially that it's something that has got to be decided between two ministers, the health and the treasury. So, in any case, thank you very much for your annual performance plan and your what you are going to be doing for the rest of the year. And I think it's okay. I think we look at the thing of increasing your staff with hoping that it's going to better. It's going to better what you are doing. The question that didn't come out very clearly is whether you have really looked at yourself since you were started 12 years ago. What impact have you had? But that is going to come as we move along. And now you're increasing your staff, which is a good thing. And I think that is probably going to help. So we accept your budget. Members, thank you very much. We will meet some of those who are going to Durban. We'll meet in Durban. Some of those who are not going, we'll meet next week. We'll be meeting NHLS next week. Doing almost the same thing next week on Wednesday. So, members, thank you very much.